Good afternoon, everybody. If you're a guest or visitor, or it's your first time with us, or actually if you've been around for the last 10 months whilst I've been on maternity leave, we maybe haven't met before. My name is Hannah. I'm married to my first love, James Toll. We have a lovely 10-month-old son called Cormac and a lovely little dog called Connie that I feel like needs to be mentioned because I feel like she's been pushed down a wee bit with the baby. So love her very much. Connie, if you're watching the live stream, I love you. Yes, so I'm part of the team here at Lagan Valley Vineyard. On a Monday, I get to look after our wonderful Compass students, and on Tuesday, I work for WTC. What is WTC, I hear you ask? Great question. WTC is a college that offers part-time degree pathways in studying theology. And so if you know that you would like to take 1, 2, 3, however many years to intentionally study God and the Bible, but you don't really know how to make that work alongside your day-to-day life, come and chat to me. I'd love to see how WTC could help you in doing that. And this afternoon, it's my joy, as always, to be sharing with you guys. As a church, we have been journeying through the book of James over the last month or so, and we're in chapter 4 this morning. This is going to be our last week in James because next week we're going to be commissioning the lovely Heather Torney and Wellspring in Banbridge, which is a very, very exciting moment for us as a church community. So please do come along and be with us as we pray and release those guys. A wee bit of a recap in James. This is a letter. It's been written by James, who is the half-brother of Jesus. And James led the church in Jerusalem, and he was known as a peacemaker that led with wisdom and with courage. Hands up if you would like more peace in your life, for yourself, for those that you know, workplaces. Yep. We all could do from hearing from James this morning then. The early church, they really needed to hear from James as well. They'd been experiencing poverty, persecution, and famine, and they needed help in figuring out how do we be Christ-like in the midst of these situations where there's chaos and conflict. And because they understood that following Jesus, following the ways of Jesus, it changes everything. And so no longer did they settle for how the world was telling them to think, to see, to behave, to react to these circumstances. Instead, they were learning to embody in the power of the Holy Spirit how Jesus would think, see, behave, react to these circumstances if he lived in their life and walked in their shoes. And the result of this was utterly compelling. Andy talked about this a few weeks ago, that it was the reason why the early church was exploding in the first century, because in the midst of these really hard circumstances, these people had a sense of peace and wisdom and courage that it was so tangible and real that it was just undeniable that they were living in some other kind of reality. They were saturated in a kind of peace that the world and their circumstances could not have given them. And because of that, they were able to build and make peace in places where it did not exist already before. I don't know about you, but I want this to be the testimony of my life. Whenever I had Cormac 10 months ago, I had this realization that I don't want to pass down a faith to him that is half-hearted, that's bolt-on Christianity or religious, but I want Cormac to see a faith in me that is real and utterly compelling. And when he grows, whether he decides to follow Jesus or not, and I long deeply that he does, but I long for my life to be a living testimony to him that you don't have to live by the reality of the world around you, but that there's a different kind of reality to live. And this is the reality of the kingdom of God here and now. So what I'm speaking into today around living into a kingdom of peace has been a really real journey for me over the last couple of weeks as I've been preparing. And so I'm very much coming here today to say that God has been really challenging me in these areas as I've been preparing, and I am learning how to step into this as much as anyone else. And so in just a moment, we're going to take some time to read James 4 together. And we're going to spend our time looking at three conflicts that James brings to the church and tells them, you need to sort these three areas out if you're to live into this reality of kingdom peace. And conflicts that we're going to spend some time looking at are conflict with ourselves, conflict with one another, and conflict with God. So why don't you turn to James 4 as we read that together. I'm going to read through to verse 11. And I'm actually going to start in James 3, verse 17, because in those last two verses of 3, James casts the vision for where the church is headed before addressing where they're going wrong in chapter 4. So this is James 3, verses 17. Holy Spirit, will you come? And as we read your word, will it be alive and active in our hearts today? Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? James begins chapter 4 by asking the church a question. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Why don't you think about that for a second? What was the last thing that caused you to lose your peace with someone? Maybe something they said or did or didn't do. Maybe actually when you look back in hindsight, it was something really silly. But in the moment, it had the ability to change your entire mood and the atmosphere within a millisecond. Now, I am not much of a conflict person. In fact, I will try and avoid it at all costs. And so typically, if I'm to lose my peace, it's been with people that I live with and spend a lot of time with, and is usually in response to something that's been building up, something that they've said or done, and it's just the tip of the iceberg of some frustration that's been going on for a while. I love you with all my heart, James. Just to preface. Hands up, does anyone bring a glass of water with you to bed? Kind of a normal thing to do. Does anyone bring two? Keep your hands up if you bring two. Three? Four? Why would you bring four? What about six? This is a photo of my Jay side of the bed at one point this month. Sorry, Jay, publicly shaming you. That is awful. These glasses have caused me to lose my peace many a time. Now, he doesn't bring them up all in one go, but they seem to be able to make their way up the stairs, but not down for some reason. And every so often, I play a game. Some of you will know this game. It's not a good game to play, but I play that. I'm just going to leave this and see when eventually these come down. Two or three, I ignore. By the fourth, I tend to try and use the bits of leftover water to water my houseplants upstairs. And then by six, I cannot locate my piece. It is gone. What was that last thing that caused you to lose your peace with someone? Whenever James asks this question, I don't think we expect his response. He says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You see, it's so easy for us to blame conflict on external factors. I hate conflict, so why would it make sense for me to be doing this other than blaming it on the glasses? And yet James this, James, begins by challenging us that if we are to live into the reality of kingdom peace, one of the conflicts that we need to address is the one in ourselves. It's in here, it's not out there. And essentially what he says in verses 2 and 3 is that this conflict comes down to greed. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. It's this desire in us to want more and more, of feeling entitled to things, of thinking, if only I could get this, and then I would have more peace. It's, for example, wanting to spend more time with your family or to share in more luxuries together. And so in order to do that, you need to work more to get more money to do that. So you start working more in order to afford more for your family, but then you're spending a lot of your time in work and less time at home. And then whenever you get home, everyone's a wee bit frustrated because you haven't been fully present whenever you're at home because you've been working so much and you're tired. But the reason why you're working so much is because you want to invest more in your family and go away on holidays. But now there's a wee bit of funk in the house and everyone seems a wee bit irritated with each other and is saying that you maybe haven't been around a whole pile. And then you're frustrated because the reason why you were working so much was because you wanted to go away with these guys. But now you're not really sure if you want to go away with these guys. And so then there's this conflict going on, and you're one underappreciated comment away from losing your peace. Or it's me a couple of weeks ago, if I'm being really honest, I was just back from maternity leave, I was back to work, I was really enjoying work, but I was missing Cormac. And so then whenever I got home, I wanted to spend like real intentional time with him, but then there was so much stuff that just needed going on around the house that needed done. I was getting frustrated with that, but I was also tired. And then once I got Cormac to bed, I was down these rabbit holes of baking sourdough bread from scratch. Who does that? But I just wanted all of the things. My desires were just all over the place. And then I come down and James is in the kitchen pouring himself a seventh glass of water. And the argument that I thought had been caused by the other six upstairs, it had started well before in here, right? I know this all sounds a bit trivial, but how can we expect ourselves to live into the reality of kingdom peace in the big things if we can't figure it out in the small? We can't just ignore this conflict in here and try a bit harder. Believe me, I've tried. And it might work when everything's going grand. But then what happens is our ability for peace is only ever dictated by the reality of the world and our circumstances around us. But we don't have to live by that reality. We can live into the reality of kingdom peace. And this is a type of peace that is dictated in our hearts beyond any circumstance. And so how do we tend to this conflict in ourselves? I want to suggest to us the practice of gratitude. Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." You see, peace and gratitude, they come hand in hand in the same way as war and greed. And so the way in which we are to dismantle this greed and to resolve and tend to this conflict in ourselves is by being thankful and practicing gratitude. This is something, it's simple, but I find that it doesn't come naturally to me in the moment. In those moments that I need it the most, I feel it the least. And so I've needed over these last few weeks to build in a rhythm of practicing gratitude so that in those moments I'm able to step into it. And my husband is much wiser than I am. And after losing my peace because of the glasses, we eventually got talking and I vented all of my frustration and all the things that I was trying to do and why I was getting so worked up. And James responded by starting to list reasons why we should be grateful. And now, I'm gonna be honest, I wasn't vibing it in the moment. I was like, no, that's not what's happening here. Like, you have to listen to why I'm frustrated and sit in this funk. But as I listened to him, because it's really hard to argue with somebody when they're calling out things to be grateful for, as I listened to him, these desires within me, they started to quieten, and I received peace. You see, in order to receive something, we have to change our posture. Like, if I was physically to give you something, you need to open your hands to receive it, right? And so I want to leave us with the challenge that I have taken this month of receiving peace. Like Jesus says to us in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And I believe that gratitude is the opening of our hands. It's the change in our posture that we need in order to receive. And although my circumstances haven't changed since that moment, the atmosphere of in here has been completely different. And so I want to leave you with the first challenge that I've taken on this month of making room in your day, if you don't already, to intentionally practice gratitude. Maybe it's the first thing in the morning, or it's when you're on your way to work or to uni or to school, before you eat dinner in the evening, or the last thing you do before you go to sleep. Start to speak out some of the things that you are grateful for. If you live with other people, do that together. So that in those moments that you feel conflicted and frustrated and your desires are wanting more and are all over the place, that in those moments that you're able to pause, you're able to recognize what you're feeling, and then you begin to practice gratitude and watch what happens as you open your hands to receive peace from the Holy Spirit. How do we live into the reality of kingdom peace? We tend to the conflict in ourselves by practicing gratitude. The second conflict that James talks about is one with one another. Finish this sentence, Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peace makers. Notice that it's not peacekeepers. We aren't called to keep peace all to ourselves, or it's not this idea we have to focus on trying to keep it and not lose it. We are called to be peacemakers, to make, to build. And so we actually have the ability to go into relationships and places where there is not already peace and to make it. When we're in conflict with one another, we can choose to be peacemakers, but often I find when we are in conflict with one another, in some shape or form, our default is either to criticize or to attempt to control them. By criticizing, I just mean like thoughts that are like, they never help with X, Y, Z, or they've got it so easy. By controlling, I mean thoughts that sound a little bit like, if they would only stop shrinking clothes in the tumble dryer. I'm looking at you, James. Not because you do that. That's my party trick. That's what I do. Much more expensive than 6 glasses of water. But criticizing and control, these are our defaults if we don't think intentionally about this, that we go to whenever we're trying to tend to conflict with one another. And what we do whenever we lean into these things, similarly with the conflict in ourselves, is that we're relocating our frustration, our anger to an external thing, to a them problem. And our solution is to go over there to them and to tell them how we think that they should think. We criticize their behaviors and control how they should act. And this is what James is addressing towards the end of the passage. Verse 11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Criticizing and control, they're essentially forms of judgment. Matthew 7, again, Sermon on the Mount. James was heavily influenced by the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about the speck out of your brother's eye, how you take that out. And he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Throughout the Bible, again and again and again, the Bible's always saying, tend in here first. In here first. And so if we want our relationships with others to be at peace, we need to get into the practice when we're feeling wound up and frustrated or hurt by one another to tend to our own hearts first so that we can then start to look outside of that and build peace. I have a friend who's modeled this really, really powerfully to me. They've been through some of the most horrendous circumstances. And if I'm honest, I thought that I had every reason to be criticizing other people for unkind and ungrateful comments. But they learned that criticizing other people didn't make them feel any better in here. And in fact, it made them hurt more and feel worse. And so instead, they began leaning hard in the opposite direction of criticism, which is encouragement. And they began praying encouragement over these people, speaking blessing over them, calling out the things, the good in them, And as they did this, just like opening our hands with gratitude, they opened themselves up to receive kingdom peace. And in those moments, the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom to build peace into these relationships. At one point, they were being bullied in work, and it was starting to affect every area of their life. Whenever they were in work, they were dreading work. And then when they were at home, they were feeling anxious and dreading going back into work. And the reality of their circumstance started to dictate everything in here, their ability to experience peace. And instead, they were filled with fear and anxiety. And one night, this came to a head, and their partner said, right, enough is enough. We need to start leaning in the opposite direction hard. And so they began praying for that person who was bullying them. Again, speaking out good things in them, praying blessing and peace over their life and their circumstances. And what began to happen in that moment as my friend changed her posture was that this inner state of anxiety and fear became saturated with peace. And then she started going into work feeling more secure, knowing that she was carrying wisdom and courage and ready to build peace into that workplace and that relationship where there was none. And it was in that moment that she began living into a different reality than what her circumstances dictated. And so another practice that I want to offer you today when we tend to this conflict with one another is the practice of encouragement. Who is that person, if you were to think right now, that everything that you think about them is critical? Or that person that you find yourself thinking there'd be more peace if only they would. What's that name that's popped into your head? I want to challenge you to pray encouragement over them this week. Call out the good things that you know about that person. Posture yourself, open up your hands so that you can receive what you need in order to build peace in that relationship. Just to recap, how do we live into this kingdom reality of peace? We tend to the conflict in ourselves by practicing gratitude, and we tend to the conflict with one another by practicing encouragement. And this third conflict that we find James talking about, third and final, is conflict with God. And this conflict is essentially the root of all of the other conflicts. He talks about this in verse 4 through to 10. I'm not going to read it, but James calls us to see that there's two opposing realities in the world around us, the reality of the world and the reality of the kingdom of God. And these two realities are in complete opposition with each other. There's no neutral ground. It's either the world or the kingdom. Those are the options. And so if we are in any way walking in the opposite of the kingdom of God and what that reality looks like, we are essentially in conflict with him. And instead, in friendship with the world, as James puts it. And it's really important that whenever James talks about this friendship with the world, he's not warning about friendship with the people in the world. The Bible is very, very clear that we are to love one another. And Jesus was a friend to those who were walking in the opposite direction of God. The friendship James is warning about is a friendship with the way that the world thinks and sees and acts and wants. And this is the domain of where the enemy is alive because it's in opposition to God. And so how do we tend to this conflict with God? It's simple, surrender. There's no other way in, it says in verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we want to live in a different reality than what the world around us offers, a reality that has something real and utterly compelling to offer ourselves, our families, our friends, our workplaces, those on the fringes of society, those that are desperate for peace, who are hurting, if we want our lives to be a testimony to the reality of God that is marked by hope and peace and joy, we need to surrender ourselves. And really simply, these practices of gratitude and encouragement are examples of surrender because in the moment, you won't feel like you want to do that. It's not the natural go-to. When we feel those feelings and we lean into encouragement or we lean into gratitude, we're leaning in the opposite way of what the world is telling us that we should do in those moments. And as we surrender our sense of entitlement and pride and control and instead open up our hands, this is when we receive God's peace. And I don't know about you, but I feel like with surrender, I'm constantly having to re-surrender and re-surrender and re-surrender parts of my life. Sometimes multiple times in a day where I realize that I'm seeing, acting, behaving in the world's reality, and I have to, in those moments, unplug and reconnect to God's reality. And so if we tend to our conflict with God by surrender, the practice that we need in order to do this well is connection. Because if you think about it, we can't surrender ourselves to something that we're not connected to. Like, I can't say that I'm a Manchester United fan, but I don't watch any matches. Wish I don't. Or I can't say that I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but don't listen to any of her songs. And believe me, those Swifties will hunt you down. We can't give ourselves to something if we don't have any connection to it. That's silly. And if we aren't intentional about connecting with God, we'll only ever be connected to the world. Because here's the thing, our phones, the news, the conversations that we have, the world will bombard you however it can to demand your attention, to make you feel like you don't have enough, and give you permission and entitlement to criticize those around you. And unlike the world, God doesn't force us to connect with him. His approach to us is peaceful. His nature is peaceful. It's not manipulative. It's not deceptive. It's not intrusive. I love verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And so keeping ourselves unsurrendered to the world and the enemy is staying connected to God. And there's so many ways that we can connect. I'm not going to take any time on them today, but spending time in the Bible, worship, prayer, silence, reflection, communion, conversation, community with one another, all of these things are the ways in which we connect. All of the ways in which we are reminded what the kingdom looks like. But what I will say today with these practices is that we miss the point if we don't have the posture. I was speaking to another good friend a couple of weeks ago, and I was in the midst of just struggling with the whole work-life balance thing, and I was just trying to do all of the things, and they said to me, Hannah, work-life balance myth. Just focus on being fully present. Wherever you are, just be fully present. It's so simple, but something that has really sat with me over the last few weeks, and I've tried to really implement that in my life, to just be fully present, rather than trying to do all of the things and think about all of the things that need done. Whatever moment I'm in, be fully present, just like she had been fully present in that conversation with me in that moment, and how that had changed everything for me in just a simple sentence that she said. And I know she had so much other things going on, but she was fully present to me in that moment. And as we come to close and to respond today, maybe the band want to jump up. I want us to take some time, want to facilitate some time for us to connect to God, to reconnect where we have disconnected. And we're going to do that through worship. And as we do that, I want to challenge us to be fully present here and now. Let's not be in a work-life balance mentality that we're getting distracted by all of the things that need done or will happen once we leave this place, whether we've got enough roasties, what time the rugby's on at, all of those things. And instead, let's just intentionally lean hard in the other direction and be present. Because it's my sense that as we do this, as we are fully present and we open up our posture to receive, that we're all going to receive peace today in this place. And we maybe don't know yet why we need that peace, but as we go into our week, we will hold it. If you're able, why don't you stand? Band are going to lead us. And this might be a new song for some of us today, and that's okay. It's okay if you don't know it. The point is about being fully present. So don't let that distract you. And maybe for some of us, we're finding it really hard to be present, where our minds just keep wandering onto different things and you're struggling to be like, how do I actually be fully present in this moment? And I want to encourage you, if that's you, just to start leaning into calling out some things that you're grateful for. And let that be the practice as we worship that helps you to connect and to open up your posture. So I'm going to pray. Maybe if you're comfortable, just close your eyes. Just take a moment to be fully present here and now. Let those other thoughts go. Why don't you just open your hands in front of you, just as a physical posture of being open to receive. Let me pray as we come to worship together and to be fully present. God, where we have disconnected from you, we just take a moment right now to reconnect. We take a moment right now to be fully present and to reconnect. And we set down our distractions and we have our hands open before you to receive. And will our worship in this moment, will it be pure? Will it be honest? Will it be real? We come near to you right now, God. Will you come near to us in this place? And I pray for those of us that are just struggling to be fully present right now, where there is conflict in our hearts, God, will you come and instill peace right now? As we begin to list the things that we are grateful for, will that be our worship? Will our hearts be opened? And in that moment, will we experience your presence and your peace? And so, God, we just take an unhurried moment. Will you come? Will you stir our hearts? Will you fill us with your peace? As we take this moment just to reconnect with you, God. Let's take some time to worship.